Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to the Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. We're so glad that you're joining us for this time of worship and growing in grace. Our desire is that you'll come to know the deep love of God, grow in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and be filled with the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Growing in grace is such a hard task for us, especially during the days of this COVID-19. And it's our prayer at the Seed that you'll be refreshed, restored by God's Word. If you need prayer during this time, you're invited to go to our website and go to our prayer icon and send your prayer concerns. We want you to know that you're not alone. We're here for you. If you've been joining us over this time, I hope you've been enjoying our series called Surprised by God from John chapter 4. Just the other day, I received an email from one of my Christian websites, and they emailed me a new Bible study. The headline got my attention. It said, "When was the last time the Bible surprised you?" That's a great question. It's my hope and prayer that the Bible surprises you each and every day. If you need a Bible, email me at Pastor Dave at the Seed Christian Fellowship. I'll mail you a Bible. Today, we're going to read John chapter 4, 1 through 26, and we're looking at how Jesus surprised the unnamed woman from Samaria. Jesus showed up at the well and offered her water that would well up to a spring of eternal life. What a wonderful offer. Friends, this same offer of eternal life is given to each one of us. No matter what we are facing, no matter our fears, no matter our doubts, no matter our guilt, our shame, no matter our sin that clings so closely, no matter where we are or what we've done, like the woman at the well, we are offered to drink from the well of Jesus and have eternal life. My prayer is come to Jesus today. Come to the well and drink. Let us pray. Lord, God of all grace and mercy, shower us today with your grace and mercy. Fill us with the waters of life and refresh us and restore us. May your words today bring us into a place of worship. Amen. John chapter 4, 1 to 26. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. Although, in fact, it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. And when the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw from." I think she says it kind of mockingly at him. "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his flocks and his herds?" Verse 13 and 14, I would underline these verses. Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to come here to draw water." He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you've had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you're a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, But you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and has now come, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said, "I know that the Messiah, called Christ, is coming, and when he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I who speak to you am he." Well, last week, if you were with us, we spent a little time looking at the place of worship. When the woman at the well tried to redirect Jesus' question about her sinful life, instead she used something called distraction, diverting a question with a question. Do you do that sometimes? Someone asks you a question, so you ask a question back to divert answering the question? Listen again to her statement. She says, "I can see you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is Jerusalem." And Jesus now declared, "Believe me, woman." That's a great statement, "believe me." I would say, "Believe me, woman. Believe me, man. Believe me, child." Whoever's listening, believe Jesus. "A time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem." That's verse 21. We learned last week that the honest place of worship is our hearts. It's not in Jerusalem or some fancy cathedral or even in a church building. How fitting that during this time of COVID-19, we've not been able to attend our normal place of worship in a normal way we used to. I think God has honestly surprised us with the truth of this story. Our place of worship is our hearts. My wife is always telling me that I need to be funny, well, and lighten up. So here's my funny part. Many of you may, if you've watched any of our YouTubes, you probably saw when I was setting up equipment last week, and setting up the equipment and doing the videotaping is a daunting task. And I really get nervous. And somehow, someway, I hit my phone and my phone dialed 911. Yes, you heard me. Did you get it? I said my phone dialed 911. Well, my phone can't do that. I must have hit something. Of course, the phone could not dial 911 all by itself. When I realized that I had accidentally dialed 911, I tried to hang up before the dispatch operator answered. But I wasn't able to do that. When I saw and heard that she had answered, I could not speak to her or hear her because my phone was now hooked up to my microphone in order to receive the video. As quickly as I could, I unplugged everything and answered the dispatcher. She asked me if I was okay. I told her I was fine, that I accidentally dialed 911. She asked if everyone in the house was fine. I told her everyone in the house was fine. Then she asked me my name and address. I told her and apologized again. She said thank you and hung up. I went out and I told my wife what I'd done and she laughed out loud. You're probably laughing now. I told her that I was going back to record because I was running late and needed to get the recording to our sound technician so that he could process it and put it all together for our online church. And I turned and said, "Don't be surprised if a San Bernardino sheriff deputy shows up at the house." Well, 10 minutes into the recording, the deputy showed up at our home. The doorbell rang and my wife answered the door. He asked my wife if everyone was okay. She told him that we were all fine. Then the deputy asked if he could see me. Well, my wife responded, "Well, sir, he's a pastor and he's locked up in the bedroom. I have him locked up in the bedroom." The look on his face, even though he had a face mask on, must have been priceless. His eyes were a little bit larger, and he said, "Ma'am, I need to see your husband." My wife walked the deputy through the house back to our room where I do the recordings and opened the door, and the deputy stuck his head in and waved. Boy, was I surprised by the deputy. The truth is, I was surprised by God. Has God ever surprised you? Most of you know that 911 is the universal number you dial for emergency. I surely learned that this last week. Do you know that 611 is the universal number for customer service? No matter what phone you own, and maybe you're on your phone right now, no matter what phone you own, if you dial 611, you'll get customer service to assist you. Did you know that Matthew 6:1-1 is part of the Lord's Prayer? Matthew 6:1-1 is, "Give us today our daily bread." Talk about customer service. What we have so far, call 911 and you get an emergency. You get emergency help. Call 611 and you get customer service. I'd like to give you God's phone number during this COVID-19. It's Jeremiah 33:3. Jeremiah 33:3. Call to me and I will answer you and I will tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. Jeremiah 33:3. Now you can add those to your 911 and 611-333. Call to God, and God will tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. Worship. Do you know that the word worship in Hebrew means to bow down? The Greek word for worship is proskuneo. P-R-O-S-K-Y-N-E-O, that's the transliteration, proskuneo. And it literally means to bow down, to fall down, to prostrate yourself flat on your face. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by The Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and we're talking about worship. If you need prayer, you can email us at, or you can go to our website. Go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com, and we'll pray for you. Prayer is a part of worship. Worship, the word literally means to fall down, to bow down, to prostrate yourself flat on your face, worship. If you have your Bibles, and if you look at verses 20 through 24, in John chapter 4, the word worship is used 10 times. 10 times. So in 5 verses, it's used at least twice in each verse. The word worship, proskuneo, is a verb. Sometimes the verb is in the past tense, but most of the time the verb is in the present active tense, which means that the action of worship is ongoing and never ending. In essence, worship is ongoing of bowing down, falling down, prostrating yourself, not just one time, but over and over again. When I personally think of the position of worship, I think of open hands, open heart, open mind, and open mouth. It's hard to receive something when our hands are closed tightly in a fist. You can't receive anything. Especially when we're worshiping. It's hard to learn anything if your mind is made up. Boy, we've run into a lot of people where their minds are made up. It's hard to learn anything when your mind is made up. It's hard to receive love and give love when your heart is so hard and locked up. It's hard to go and serve when your feet are not moving. It's definitely hard to worship with your mouth when it's closed. So what is the position of worship? I think the position of worship is one of surrender, submission, humility, and lowliness. Let me say that again. I think the position of worship is one of surrender, submission, humility, and lowliness. Maybe that's why the woman at the well wanted to know where she was to worship. And Jesus confronted her and stated, "You will not worship on this mountain or in Jerusalem." Why did he say that? Why did Jesus tell her that she worshiped what she did not know? Wow. Talk about a slap in the face. What would you say if someone said, "Well, you worship what you do not know"? Last week, I talked about how blessed I've been to travel the world and visit many different places of worship. I've seen idols ranging from crudely carved pieces of wood worshipped in the open air to elegant statues housed in beautiful cathedrals. When we were in Peru building a church, I noticed a bull and a cross on the top of a farmhouse. I asked our guide what that meant, and he laughed. He said, "Oh, Pastor Dave, they're covering their bases. They have a bull, which is the pagan god for fertility for their home and their crops. And they have the cross for their Christian faith. They're covering their bases." The big word is syncretism. So they're blending a lot of things. I wonder if sometimes we're like the owners of that farmhouse in Peru. We cover our bases. You may think that you never made an idol other than God. Oh, you may think that you've never worshipped one. Well, are you ready for me to step on your toes? And you might want to get some steel-toed boots on for this message. What exactly do you worship? Who do you worship? Stop and think about this for a moment. Our intelligence and intellect can become an idol as we sit on judgment upon God, His Word, and His purposes in history. We may look down on others who are not as smart as us. Maybe we worship our education. Could our body be our idol? If you're more concerned about your physical appearance and health than you are about your inner spiritual nature? We spend so much time working out so that we look good on the outside, but we never worry about what's on the inside? Could our business, our work, maybe our net worth come before God? Could our bank accounts and investment accounts be what we truly worship? You know, even another person could be your idol. Do you pattern your life after someone else rather than God and His will? Do we look at the rich and famous and say, "I want their life," when God has given you your life? Achieving your own goals can become your God if those goals are more important than following God's plan for your life. Maybe popularity is your idol. Are you more interested in being accepted by other people? Social media, how many likes do you get on your post? And you're more worried about that than whether God likes you? Well, here's another thought. Could our phones and electronics become our idols? I think they are today. How many of you get your phone every week and it tells you you had 4 hours of screen time this week, or 10 hours of screen time this week, or your screen time was up more than it was last week? What is it that you worship? Why do we worship? To worship is to ascribe worth to someone or something. Today, I want us to take an honest look at what is the thing or person that we ascribe worth to. On all of these grace retreats that I attend and serve and work on, there's a talk that's given at the very first talk, and it's called Priorities or Goals, and they ask you to take a look at your bank account. That might reflect what you worship. They ask you a question: what do you think about the most? Where do you spend your time the most? What do you spend the most time and the most money on? Look, there's no judgment here. I'm just asking some thought-provoking questions. 911, emergency. 611, customer service. 333, God's phone number. Call to me, and I will answer you, and I'll tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. After my wife and I made our first grace-based weekend in 1987, we stopped and spent time together looking at the answers to those thought-provoking questions. Where do you spend, what do you think about the most? What do you spend your time on? What do you spend your money on? Before this season in our lives, we gave to God what we thought we could afford. But first, we paid our mortgage, bought our food, provided for our children, and we had two separate weekly fun accounts for my wife and I. It was clear to us that God was not number one. We had not made God number one in our priorities. Attending the grace-based weekend didn't make us better people. It did make me think, what or who do I worship? Where do I spend my time? Where do I spend my money? What do I think about the most? My wife and I flipped our priorities upside down after that weekend in 1987. We decided to love God, and we wanted to worship God alone. We started to pray together every day. We became better givers to our home church. The first fruits of our weekly income went to God. We didn't make 10% tithing right away, but we improved on our giving. You know what? Since we put God first in our lives, God has told us great and unsearchable things. Are you in a 911 situation right now? Call customer service 611. Give to us this day our daily bread, Matthew 6:1-1. Teach us how to use our daily bread for the best of our ability. Help us not to worship the bread, but to worship the giver of the bread. And then teach us to keep calling out to you like Jeremiah. Show us great and mighty things. I have a friend who was on vacation with his wife. They were at a Walmart when my friend heard, "See that guy over there? Go give him $80. My friend was like, "Really? $80? Not 5, 10, or maybe 20? My friend went over to share with his wife that he was hearing God say, "Go give that guy $80. His wife said, "Well, do what you think you should do. Hey, we've been on vacation, but vacation is me time. Vacation is my money, the money we saved, right? Have you ever asked, here's God, who my friend worships with all of his heart, pulling at my buddy's heartstrings. My friend walked over and struck up a conversation with a man and found out that he was trying to get to a sick family member miles away. My friend blessed this man with the $80. That's what he had in his wallet, exactly $80. Today, when he tells the story, we all laugh. $80, really? You know what I know? My friend and his wife were blessed knowing they did what God asked them. Brilliance at the well this week. The unnamed woman at the well asked Jesus, "Where should I worship? Should I worship here or there?" And Jesus replies, "You should worship everywhere." I think what Christ is saying to the woman and to us today, get your priorities straight. Put God first. Worship God with humble, surrendered hearts. Love God, love others, and love yourself. Let us pray. Lord God, you're the giver of all life and the giver of all grace. Our great and glorious God is waiting at the well. So, Lord, we come to drink deeply and stay a while and be satisfied. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want you to know that God loves you, and he wants you to worship him with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, and all of your might. God loves you. And so do I. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, PastorDave@theSeedChristianFellowship.com. Or you can send a message through the church website, TheSeedChristianFellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.